Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Dave Baker.
And I'm Spandrew Spice.
Welcome to Deep Cuts, the podcast where we pick a topic and walk you through the ins, the outs, and the nitty-gritty so you can appear like an interesting and idiosyncratic person at your next forced social function. Today's topic is...
El Chupacabra.
What is the Chupacabra? Well, he's a bizarre cryptid who is notorious for eating livestock, terrorizing rural communities, and serving as a harbinger of doom. Act 1. The Vampire of Mocha. Urban legends, folklore, the unexplainable. Humanity has a preoccupation with attempting to find a reason and an explanation for the incomprehensible. Or is that just a false premise? Is it really that there's a demonic creature living among us? Chupacabra translates to, quite literally, goat sucker. Chupar, to suck, cabras, goats. Unlike many cryptids, the Chupacabra got its name from a comedian, specifically Puerto Rican comedian Silverio Perez, who joked about the creature on air in 1995. The first public sightings of the Chupacabra have been attributed to a series of livestock killings in the town of Mocha, Puerto Rico, in 1975. Initially, a satanic cult was blamed for the slaughters. However, as the bodies of the animals were inspected and small circular incisions found on them, this theory was thrown out, and these killings, which would last for almost 20 years before being fully coalesced in March of 1995. 8 sheep were discovered dead in Puerto Rico, each with 3 puncture wounds on its chest. They had been drained almost completely of all of their blood. A few months later, in August of 1995, an eyewitness named Madeline Tolentino claimed to see a small creature fleeing the scene in the town of Canovanas, where over 150 animals were killed. Alright, Spandrew, we got an image here of the Chupacabra. We're going to talk about that in a second. But first, do you remember the first time that you came across the idea of El Chupacabra and what your reaction was to it?
I probably heard about El Chupacabra before this in kind of an unspecific way. I'm sure that just when I was super young, it was mentioned at some point because I was just aware of what a Chupacabra was in a vague sense. The first really concrete memory I have of it, which was actually something I was going to bring up, is that not only is it the only cryptid that was named by a comedian, but also it's, as far as I know, the only cryptid that is the official mascot of a massive company, because the Chupacabra is just the mascot of Chupa Chups, the Mexican lollipops. The Chupacabra is just the mascot of that candy. And I remember the first concrete memory I have of the Chupacabra was when I was a little kid going to Mexico, and like there was Chupacabra stuff everywhere. And I remember seeing a bunch of the Chupa Chups candy. I know that that candy is in the United States abundantly, but I don't remember ever seeing it before I went to Mexico as a kid. And I remember just seeing that candy everywhere and just seeing the Chupacabra character. I think there was like a little cardboard cutout of the Chupacabra licking a lollipop outside of a store somewhere I went. And there was also just a bunch of other Chupacabra merchandise. I remember I went into like a Mexican toy store. They were selling these little wrestling rings, these little wooden wrestling rings, and then a bunch of little luchador action figures. It was just a bunch of random lucha characters that I'm sure were real luchadors that I just didn't know about when I was a kid. And then they also had a Chupacabra one. And so I got like this little wrestling ring and then a bunch of these little lucha characters and then also a little Chupacabra wrestler. And I don't know what happened to that. That's long gone, but I had that for a while. I think that was like the first real memory I had of the Chupacabra.
That sounds rad. I want a Chupacabra wrestler. That sounds dope.
Yeah, I have no idea where that went.
First time I encountered it was some kid in like middle school told me what it was. I grew up close to the border in Tucson. And so, you know, we went to Nogales, Arizona a lot, but we also went across the border to Nogales, Mexico. I don't want to say regularly. We didn't do it regularly, but we definitely went down there. And I remember a kid, maybe one of the neighbors or something. I kind of don't remember exactly, but I remember him being like, you got to be careful. They got chupacabras in Mexico. And I was like, what is that? What are you talking about? And yeah, he was like, they eat goats and shit, bro. You gotta be careful.
You're like, all right, fine then. I'm not a goat. And he was like, you're the goat.
This is the same kid who also told me if you like the color blue, you're gay.
So he was a truth teller then.
He also told me, if you look at your fingernails, if all of the bottoms of your fingernails line up, then you're gay. This kid was really into like trying to figure out who was gay, apparently. I don't know whatever happened to him. Maybe he was repressing something.
I think we know what happened to him. He loved blue.
His favorite Power Ranger was David Yost.
Aside from the fixation on labeling people as gay, there always was that kid who just like was a pathological liar about the most inconsequential things. They just went around lying about things that didn't matter at all. There's nothing really to gain from it. It wasn't like lying about something that would make them look cooler or make them benefit in any kind of way. They would just make up lies about little weird things. And you're inclined to believe them because you're just like, why would somebody lie about this? And then over time, you start realizing like, oh, yeah, this person, they just say too many weird things. There's no way that all these things are true. There's no way that all these things happen to one person. And then you start to realize, oh, this person just lies about everything.
Yeah. And that's how I met you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about this drawing, this representation of the chupacabra. You want to describe this for the listener?
It's interesting because, once again, the chupacabra, I think unlike a lot of other cryptids, it has sort of like two different versions of the way it's depicted that are both pretty well known. Like there's not one specific overwhelmingly accepted version of what the chupacabra looks like. There's sort of two. One of them is kind of like a more realistic thing. I don't know if we go into it in this episode, but basically a lot of people believe that the chupacabra are basically like malnourished dogs. Somebody saw like a skinny, just like dog that attacked a goat and they just thought that it was a chupacabra. So, you know, just imagine like a really just rail thin, starving dog, emaciated, hairless. And that's what a chupacabra is. And you see it depicted in that way a lot, where it's just like a emaciated, rail thin, like dog-like creature. And then the other one, which I think is more of just kind of like the mythological imagined version of it, is this. And it's like a gray alien with spikes. And that's like what the Chupa Chups mascot looks like. It's like an alien with spikes on its head, basically.
I like both of them, frankly. Like the malnourished dog one looks really weird and creepy. And like there's all these photos of them that they've found dead. But also I kind of love this weird little like spiky alien dude. Like he's so cute, but in a weird, creepy way.
Yeah. This guy would be your best friend. He would go with you on a magical adventure.
Yeah, totally. You know that movie Paul?
Yeah.
The Nick Frost, Simon Pegg movie where they go on a road trip with an alien?
Yeah.
Why wasn't that movie named like Chewie? And it was like this guy. That would be so much more fun.
We gotta make Chewie. Just us on an adventure with a chupacabra.
Dude, I love that. Yeah. You know, fish out of water, odd couple comedy. He takes us underground, exposes us to chupacabra culture. We have to figure out how to suck blood out of goats or some shit. I don't know, whatever.
I love the idea of Chewie.
After the eyewitness account, a name had been given to the creature. Sightings in Argentina, Bolivia, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, and Peru spawned at a rapid rate. This is a fucking great chupacabra VHS that is in Spanish, but I just, the vibe of this is so good. I was like, you gotta see this shit. All these weird drawings.
It is the wrong name for a phenomenon that no one can explain with certainty that has caused all kinds of reactions of hysteria in history. Among the most suffered group are our children, who the fear of the chupacabra accompanies them very often, that they are afraid of Carlos, of chupacabras. That's probably a bad translation by this closed captioning. So kids saw Chupacabra. He feels sorry for it.
This little kid with his pink fucking polo shirt.
That was the little kid that went on the magical adventure with Chewie.
Mm-hmm.
People in Puerto Rico and abroad do not stop reporting Chupacabra. They destroy cages, kill girls, pet rabbits, and dogs. Chupacabra diet tells horror stories to the police. Saw one in the yard of a nursing home. All the science has not yet been able to identify it. There are many who claim that they have seen it. They have seen it with their own eyes. There are those who say that it is an extraterrestrial. Others that it is a monkey, a wild dog, or tiger. And even people, scientists, and students of the phenomenon offer their services voluntarily to decipher the mystery, even if it is an uphill mission due to the indifference of the authorities.
So rad. I also just, the aesthetic of the deteriorating VHS, the local news, the...
Oh yeah, this is amazing.
The people, the hairdos, the fashion, the, like, it's so rad. Like, it's, you know, from, like, the early 90s, late 80s, but, like, there's something about that South American fashion, which, like, everybody kind of looks like a dictator, you know? Like, everybody has high collars and giant shoulders and, like, muted tones. So fucking great.
Yeah, this is definitely, like, a VHS hell clip.
So let's talk a little bit more in depth about the kind of visuals of the Chupacabra. This is taken from the Chupacabra wiki page. You want to read this, Spandrew?
The most common description of the Chupacabra is that of a reptile-like creature said to have leathery or scaly greenish-gray skin and sharp spines or quills running down its back. It is said to be approximately 3 to 4 feet high and stands and hops in a similar fashion to that of a kangaroo. This description was the chief one given to the few Puerto Rican reports in 1995 that claimed to have sighted the creature, with similar reports in parts of Chile and Argentina following. Another common description of the Chupacabra is of a strange breed of wild dog. This form is mostly hairless and has a pronounced spinal ridge, usually pronounced eye sockets, fangs, and claws. This description started to appear in the early 2000s from reports trailing north from the Yucatan Peninsula and northern Mexico, and then into the United States, becoming the predominant description since. Unlike conventional predators, the Chupacabra is said to drain all of the animal's blood and sometimes organs, usually through three holes in the shape of a downwards pointing triangle, but sometimes through only one or two holes. Honestly, I feel like the shift of the description of the Chupacabra from this like gray alien looking thing with spikes to this more kind of like emaciated dog is just like people just started to realize that they flew too close to the sun. Like of all these cryptids that we've talked about, one thing we've discussed is this idea that they're like very basic and they're always just based on some animal that somebody saw. Like the origins of all the cryptids is like somebody just saw some normal animal and then just like blew it out of proportion in their own mind. Whereas the Chupacabra just started off immediately as like a completely over-the-top mythological creature that doesn't really have an analog on Earth. It was just like, it looks like an alien, but with spikes. And so people probably quickly realized, like, if we want to keep reporting this thing and getting on the news and being able to talk about Chupacabras, we got to like scale back this whole thing. It's too extra. We're doing too much with this. So then they retconned it where they're like, actually, it more looks like a dog, an evil dog. Because then you can like find some mange ridden, emaciated dog and just be like, it's a fucking Chupacabra.
The funny thing, too, is that it's like initially it was being referred to as the vampire of Mocha because there was all these animals, these livestock, you know, animals that were being killed in this vampiric way where they were being kind of siphoned for blood. And it was that way for like almost 2 decades. It was like 15, 20 years. And then branding is everything, baby. Branding's everything. That one comedian gets on fucking, you know, late night radio, whatever. And he's like, fucking goat suckers. Am I right? And everyone's just like, oh, yeah, goat suckers. Yeah, totally. I've seen one of those.
It's just the South American Andrew Dice Clay.
I know they're calling this motherfucker the Vampire of Mocha, but really, he's a fucking goat sucker. Boom! Yeah, so this is Associated Press footage from Puerto Rico, January 8th in, like, 96. They think they find a dead chupacabra, and this is, I don't know if it's officially the beginning of the chupacabra is a weird gray-looking demonic dog thing, but it definitely starts that spiral out for sure.
They're just showing all these dead sheep that were supposedly sucked.
Look at that sheep. That thing is fucking dead, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, it's basically they're showing a bunch of these dead sheep or like dying sheep that apparently got sucked by El Chupacabra.
Fully fucking sucked and fucked. I mean, just suck. I mean, they're dead.
Located 1,000 miles off the coast of Florida, Puerto Rico is a lush tropical island paradise and popular tourist haven. With a population of over 3 million people, the island is a contrast between the old and the new. An agricultural economy which also boasts modern cities and a high rate of literacy.
The vibe of modern conspiracy theories, it's just not my thing. Like these QAnon documentaries and these things about like MK Ultra, it's got this like military vibe to it. It's got this like we're talking about secret things that, you know, the deep state doesn't want us to talk about, and if we keep talking about this too much, we're going to be secreted away and taken to some underground bunker and murdered or whatever. It's got that vibe to it. That's not the vibe I'm into. I'm into this, like, late 80s, early 90s, like, terrible CGI VHS conspiracy theory vibe. This is my shit.
The way that defies the imagination, as well as forensic science. Normally, one would assume that this is the work of some large predator. But that explanation cannot be applied in Puerto Rico. But aside from
this narrator sounds like the bad guy from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Just wait till we get to the actual host.
The island has no known predators until now. They call it Chupacabra, Spanish for goat sucker, due to the bizarre and frightening method by which it kills its prey. But this label may be too limited, as hundreds of chickens, sheep, cattle, and recently even household pets, like dogs and cats.
Like, seriously, this narrator has been through some shit. They're like, who are we going to get to narrate this documentary? Let's find the first guy we can find who was attacked by a bear and had a heart attack yesterday. The kind of color that I want to know about this is, like, what is the sequence of events for the chupacabra? Is it that people start finding mutilated animals that have been like sucked of their blood by something, and then they come up with this urban legend about why these animals are turning up dead? Or are they killing the animals and staging the deaths to justify the urban legend of the chupacabra?
Well, as we've talked about previously with a lot of these cryptid legends, it's probably a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, you know, because there's people who are trying to profit off of the creatures once they happen. However, I would say that probably isn't the case when it's just the Vampire of Mocha. Or maybe it is. Maybe it's, you know, local tourism board of Mocha, Puerto Rico is trying to drum up some publicity. So they're like, let's kill some fucking goats, bro.
Kill these goats.
Yeah, dude. Let's fucking murder these goats, dude. But we can't just fucking stab them. Let's, like, suck these goats to death. Ah, George, I don't know if that's a good idea, man. No, dude, it's cool. I'm gonna just fucking suck these goats to death. You're gonna fucking suck these goats to death? No. I'm gonna fucking suck these goats to death, dude. You're gonna fucking do it, dude. I don't know, George. This sounds fucking too far for me, man.
That's actually what happened was in the mid-90s, the tourism board of Puerto Rico was like, all right, George, we got to drum up some tourism for Puerto Rico. you got to go out there and you got to kill some goats. And he's like, all right, hear you loud and clear, bro. And then, like, the next day, it's like Tupac Shakur shot in the streets. And they're like, what the fuck? What happened? And he's like, you said to shoot the goat. And they're like, no, we said shoot some goats, not the goat. And he's like, oh, okay, I got you. He leaves. Next day, Notorious B.I.G. shot in the streets. I shot some goats. You wanted me to shoot multiple goats? I shot the two goats. And he's like, no, we wanted you to shoot some goats. Is the bit selling? Is the math checking out?
Yeah. I'm okay. I'm into the bit. Let's continue, though, because I need you to see the guy who made this documentary, Bob Schott.
Their livestock and even their families. Meanwhile, the death toll keeps rising. The story of Chupacabra may have its roots in the village of Mocha, located on the west end of the island.
You know, I think the big selling point of the Chupacabra urban legend that just really, you know, referencing the Champy episode and kind of what we talked about in that one, where it was like the whole vibe of it is a little underwhelming. It's like very basic. There's not a whole lot to it. I think the big selling point of Chupacabra is like it's got some genuine spookiness to it.
Yeah.
Because, and actually it's funny because I saw a tweet about this the other day where somebody was like, my favorite horror movie trope is the fucked up deer. And they were talking about how like it gets really spooky in a horror movie when they show a fucked up deer. Like you're out in the woods and then you see like a fucked up deer and you know some shit's about to go down. And I think that's what the Chupacabra legend has, is there's all these like fucked up animals. There's like a twitching goat and like a cow that's convulsing on the ground. And you're like, this shit is getting spooky.
Yeah, and also just the fact that like they suck goats, dude.
Yeah. That's spooky shit. Laboratory.
It is believed that something was unleashed again. The mutilations began to reoccur, first in a limited area around the rainforest, then in an increasingly wider range. Many of the animals initially killed were goats and sheep, whose blood and organ parts were literally sucked out of their bodies through tiny incisions. It was then that the resurgent creature was given its name, Chupacabra. So for this once tranquil island, often referred to as the Island of Enchantment, the mystery of Chupacabra may have granted it a new name, the Island of Mystery. Bob Schott, investigator of the supernatural and producer-director of Adventures Beyond, journeyed to Puerto Rico to investigate and search out this creature.
Coming down the hill. Adventures Beyond journeys into unknown and mysterious areas that are often filled with excitement and suspense. And based on the recent information,
Bob Schott looks like Dog the Bounty Hunter and Bob the Builder combined.
Bob Schott looks like the type of guy that would be cast as the protagonist in a new slasher film franchise called Single Dad at Home Depot on a Saturday morning.
Yes. He does. He looks like a single dad at Home Depot on a Saturday morning. That's, you checked all the boxes. If you entered that into ChatGPT, it would just give you this picture.
Bob Schott is like a probably 6 foot odd tall guy, a little bit overweight, Caucasian, dirty blonde hair, balding. The top of his head, the hair is like pushed down over his bald spot, and the sides have been completely grown out. So he has a mullet, but only around the sides of his head. He doesn't have long hair, and he doesn't have a skullet. He has a side skullet.
Yeah, it's party on the sides, divorce on the top.
It fully is like, this guy wanted to be like a hair metal guitarist, but he just, God conspired against him and made him go bald So now he's just rocking, like, you know, Motley Crue on the sides, Phil Collins on the top.
Yeah, he looks like the butler from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Bob Schott looks like the type of guy that looks in the mirror and says something along the lines of, "Would you fuck me? I'd fuck me."
And then he fucks that Dune popcorn bucket.
In case you can't tell from the audio, Bob Schott is standing in front of a waterfall with one leg up on a rock, casually leaning, talking about chupacabra hunting. Also, the name of this documentary is Chupacabra, The Island Terror from 1996.
I love it. I love this whole, everything about this. I love it.
I knew you would. As soon as I started watching this, I was like, I know that you're going to love this.
They truly don't make them like they used to. Like, no fucking Netflix documentary pulls this weight. No way.
Prominent news anchors has been following the story since 1995. She remains totally mystified as to what kind of creature could be responsible, and frustrated at the lack of official cooperation to make public.
Aren't these an odd couple?
Yeah, for real, right?
You got Bob Schott, the balding mullet supreme, and then you've got Gale Weathers, the local meteorologist.
And Dreamboat, I might add.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Were appeared killed in the morning. They had no idea what had happened to them. The only thing they said to us initially was that they had some profound wounds here.
The Chiron of her name just like flew in with a sound effect.
Yeah,
over her talking. She's talking and her name just goes.
Nobody knows what it is, and until we take a serious scientific approach to it, we won't know what it is. And this is not the first time it happens in Puerto Rico, because we have had the Vampiro de Moca and other kind of stories about strange killing of animals.
She's the Scully.
She's the Scully to Bob Schott's Mulder, yeah.
Totally. God, I would pay so much money to see that.
Oh, please. My dog sleep outside of the house. They're at odds because he's this head in the clouds conspiracy theorist who wants to believe that the supernatural is real, and she's a buttoned up, logical reporter who only believes the things that she sees evidence of. And they're at odds and they don't like each other, but then if they grow together and they form a bond because they realize that they complement each other.
Public figures are conspicuous by what they don't say or refuse to say rather than what they do say.
Do you think these reports from the people that their animals are being attacked by some...
That was a weird place to stop her talking.
Yeah.
It just cut off mid-sentence. What I can tell, they were just like, she's not saying that the chupacabra is real.
And I don't want to speculate.
Let's just cut away.
Because there's too many people on
the island. She's being logical.
And they have different opinions.
We gotta sell this shit to like 9-year-olds. Dead animals on the
island. When your officers arrive at the scenes and there's dead animals present, what do they do with the carcasses?
Well, most of the time...
Also, all these interviews are just Bob Schott just like asking leading questions like, do you think that the people on this island are going to be murdered in their sleep by an evil creature that comes from hell? And they're all just like, we don't know. There's some dead animals. But, like, we're not going to freak out about it. The whole documentary is just that.
To your office.
It's so wild because I know that I just would have eaten this documentary up as a kid. I would have fucking bathed in this. Like just a, like a glorious lavender-scented bath.
Yeah, completely.
But it's essentially just saying nothing. They're just like asking all these people. They're just like, have you seen a chupacabra? They're just like, no, there's just animals that are dead. We don't know why.
There was a documentary in the 90s about Area 51 hosted by Jonathan Frakes. And I rented that thing from the library, like, or checked it out from the library like so many times One, because I was just obsessed with it, and two, because of the style and artifice of the documentary, which is the exact same as this, was so fun and compelling and scary, but still educational, and like, I loved it.
Bob Schott, he's a national hero.
Completely.
Cover this up. It's not for the press. No one's to know about it. Be silent. How would you respond?
We work on real cases, not just talk.
Yep.
Here's this completely made-up hypothetical scenario in which, like, nothing is actually true and it's all just wild speculation. How would you react to that completely made-up scenario that, once again, has not occurred?
It would be for him to determine if we should cover up or not. And I repeat, we work on real cases, not just talk. And if the law says we would just be applying the law to it.
But another government official has taken a much stronger stance. Now Jose Soto of Canovitas, better known as
Jones. He just says nothing, and then it's just like a dramatic freeze frame. The screen goes red with blood with a stab of dramatic strings after he just said nothing.
Why did but you also look at this guy. This guy is like
a search for the chupacabra.
This guy is the star of like a Magnum PI set in Puerto Rico. Like, you know, it's called Take No Prisoners. His name is Juan Prisoner. Actually, right now,
there's no way that could be like conveyed to the listener. You just got to watch this. But as Dave just kind of alluded to, we've got like the Puerto Rican Saul Goodman here. He's just this like sleazy, over the top lawyer looking guy with like a Jerry curl. And he's in this really like tacky looking office, like any idea of like a sleazy ambulance chaser lawyer type person you've seen in a movie. And I can't even explain it. Can you explain what just happened, Dave?
He gets asked a question of why is it important to go search for the chupacabra? And he like pulls out a ready-made prop newspaper and starts gesturing to it and like emphatically underscoring.
And then he slams his fist on the desk. But the whole thing is like so incredibly contrived and like planned.
Yeah.
Like, there's no actual emotion or passion behind it. He's like, you cue me, and whenever you say this, I'm going to lift this paper, and I'm going to slam my fist on the desk and show how determined I am to catch this creature. It's like Richard Iowade in Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
Yeah.
In the show, within the show, where they're doing, like, the hospital drama, and then Richard Iowade is, like, playing Garth Marenghi's real-life agent. And he's also an actor in the show, but he's like a terrible actor. And then everything he does is like so contrived. It's like that.
It's amazing. But also there's just something about this man's face, the mayor's face. He just gives off the vibe of, you hit it on the head when you said Saul Goodman. Like this dude just looks, he looks skeezy, dude. He looks real skeezy.
At this moment, people are scared. They have seen the figure close up. We have the minister that saw the animal flying.
You gotta wonder what dynamic is going on here, because you have these people who are being interviewed, and they all just like, mostly all of them just very clearly are like apprehensive to even be talking. And they're being very cautious to like manage expectations and be like, we don't know what this is. There's just some animals. Once again, I must repeat that there's no evidence of anything. We just have some dead animals. And they just seem like weirdly like apprehensive about even talking. And then this guy, he's like the opposite, where he's like clearly milking it and just being like, this thing is real and we must stop it. But just in the most like rehearsed fake way possible. You just gotta wonder what's going on here. Like, why are these people participating in this? Are they being given money and they're just like, oh, if we're in this stupid documentary about the chupacabra, this production company will give the city government like $10,000 and like we could actually really use that money. Like what's going on with why these people are in this documentary?
Also, look at his tie. Is that just like a checkerboard or like what design is that tie?
It's just one of those dad ties from the 90s.
Yeah, man.
Nobody knows what it is. Nobody can explain it. Science can't explain it.
And they have nothing to lie about. They have seen and have reported a 4 foot figure, like a little man with ears and big reddish eyes. We have 15 people that have given us the same description. And we're dealing with an intelligent being.
What do you intend to do about it?
Like a little man.
We're going to little red eyes. To the press.
Even the voiceover translator guy is just like, all right, I guess I'll do this. This is just like a Neil Breen documentary. This is what a documentary made by Neil Breen would be.
I just love this guy, though. I just love Bob Schott. Like, I wonder, did he make more documentaries? Let me see. Bob Schott. Oh, wow. He was an actor. Dude, he was in a bunch of stuff. Oh, my God. He was in Head of the Family and Future Hunters and Gymkata.
Oh, yeah. That's what he looks like. He looks like a guy who's slightly aged out of being in straight-to-video martial arts films.
Yeah. Known for Gymkata, In the Line of Fire, and Up. Dude, he's in a bunch of movies. This is so crazy. Aftershock, Future Hunters, Million Dollar Mystery, Vamp, Gymkata, Knight Rider. He was in one episode of Knight Rider as a dude named Dink, and he was credited as Bob Schott, but not with an S, with a dollar sign. Dollar sign Schott. Dude.
That's a power move.
That is a power move.
Have a dollar sign in your screen name.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wow. Wow. But his documentaries aren't on here. Bob Schott, Strange Adventure. That was what this was called, right?
This is called Chupacabra, The Island Terror.
Oh, right. But I thought it was like a part of a series.
Oh, yeah. Whatever that title card at the beginning was. I forget what it was. It was something like that, like Strange Terror or something like that.
Adventures Beyond. Adventures Beyond. Wow. Okay. There's only one of these. On IMDb, it says there's only one Adventures Beyond.
Adventure Beyond.
No, Adventures Beyond, colon, Chupacabra. 1997 is when it was released. 96 is when it says on YouTube.
This also does not seem like it's from 1997.
No.
It looks like it's from 1989.
Yeah, totally. Featured review. There's a review on here that gave it a 10 out of 10 stars.
It's just from Bob Schott.
The review says, I am a believer in cryptozoology and with many unusual cryptids, such as the Jersey Devil, the Goat Man, and more famous ones such as Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster. This video has its sights on one of the most bizarre creatures ever, which is none other than the Chupacabra, which means goat sucker, exclamation point. All of those previous words were one sentence.
As they should be.
The people all give the same descriptions of the beast, period. They say it's about 4 to 6 feet tall, biped, humanoid shape with reptilian skin, spines and quills on its back, wings and muscular arms with 3 fingers and a thumb, and a big, sharp, thick claws, red large eyes.
In the shape of an L on its forehead.
I love this.
Well, the goats start sucking and they don't stop sucking.
Dude. I love this. Oh, the guy who did the voiceover, the reason why he sounds so thrashed is because he's an actual, like, movie star. His name is Jay Robinson. He played Caligula in The Robe, Demetrius and the Gladiators, Star Trek, Bram Stoker's Dracula. Like, he was in a fuckload of stuff. Night Court, Real Ghostbusters, Cheers. Like, it seems like somehow he was just a dude in Hollywood, and Bob Schott met him and was like, all right, we're going to have you do the voiceover because you're like a known commodity of some kind.
Wait, what was his name again? I just got to check this.
Jay Robinson.
I just got to see what the bad guy from Bill and Ted's name was because it sounds like him. Joss Ackland, that's the bad guy from Bill and Ted. So not the same guy, but sounds very much like him.
Well, I mean, look, we don't have to keep going. This documentary is amazing, but we both get the idea. It's delightful, campy, over the top.
It's on YouTube. Only has 3,000 views.
Yeah, what a crime.
Philistines. This whole world is Philistines.
Spandrew, I mean, I feel like it's pretty apparent. I love the Chupacabra. I'm super into it. I love the weird little goat suckery dude. Do you have any final thoughts on the Chupacabra?
Yeah, I love the Chupacabra. I would definitely, of all the cryptids we've talked about, like I would definitely put Mothman and El Chupacabra up, you know, on a pedestal on the top tier. I like Bigfoot as well, but there's just something about, I mean, Mothman has got a really spooky, creepy vibe to it, which I like. And Chupacabra does as well, but it's also like Chupacabra, the creepy, spooky vibe of Chupacabra is distinctly much more like campy early 90s. And for that reason alone, it's just got a way more special place in my heart because like I'm sitting there, we're watching that documentary and it's just like flooding me with endorphins, taking me back to like the type of shit that I was really into watching when I was a little kid in the 90s. It just hit every quadrant. So El Chupacabra is like way up there in terms of cryptids that I love that are just exactly in my wheelhouse. And like, I don't think there's any deeper philosophical meaning to El Chupacabra. Like I think some of the other cryptids we've talked about, you know, have, there's like these interesting discussions about Bigfoot and the way that the guys who created the tape of Bigfoot. One of them was sort of like tricked into, you know, going out and talking about Bigfoot and he thought it was real, but it was because he was being manipulated by the other guy. And, you know, the creepy lore behind Mothman and some of the other things we've talked about. I don't think there's much here for the Chupacabra other than just like either some people started finding some dead animals with like puncture wounds in their neck and they just came up with a legend about it to explain it. But it was actually just like a vampire bat or something, whatever animal was doing it. Or it was some people who cooked up a story and they like killed some animals to justify it. One or two or some combination of both. I don't think there's much more beyond it, but just in terms of vibes, like Chupacabra is a vibes only cryptid. It's like one of my favorites because I just love the vibes. That's really all I can say about it.
Couldn't agree more. Love the vibes. Looking forward to us eventually meeting Chewie and going on a road trip with him.
Yeah, we're going to go on a magical adventure with Chewie, for sure.
I'm Dave Baker.
And I'm Spandrew Spice.
This has been Deep Cuts. If you'd like to find me online, you can do so at heydavebaker.com or on the socials at xdavebakerx. Please go buy my book, Mary Tyler Moorhawk. It's available now wherever you get your books, baby. Spandrew, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on TikTok at DeadBoyDetective. You can follow us on social media on Instagram at DeepCutsPod, on Facebook, DeepCutsPodcast. You can join the Facebook group, DeepCutsPodcast Facebook group, where we talk about the show and make memes. You can join the Discord server, bit.ly/DeepCutsDiscord, where we talk about the show, make memes, and do other fun stuff like play games. And you can see us on our magical adventure with Chewie the Chupacabra, traveling across the countryside on a magical odyssey this summer in theaters. Deep Cuts is a production by Boy Genius Media. If you'd like to find this show and others like it, please visit boygeniusmedia.com or deepcutspod.com.
If you want to join in on post-episode discussions, please join the Deep Cuts Podcast Facebook group. Finally, subscribe to our YouTube channel for additional video content.